Now I see grace. Good morning. Good morning. Come on in. Welcome to Grace Point Church. As we gather together this morning for worship, you can tell it is pre-Thanksgiving weekend. I want to read a verse out of Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord because He is good. Because His faithful love lasts forever. So for that reason alone, we give thanks to the Lord. Would you pray with me? God, we do thank You. Thank You that Your love is never ending. That it lasts forever. And because of that, and for many other reasons, God, we come together to worship You, to thank You, to bless You, to honor You, to give ourselves to You. Bless our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This week, our nation will celebrate Thanksgiving. And the irony of it is that very little thanks to God will probably be given. We get so busy preparing and cooking food and eating. We're concerned about entertaining and eating and watching football and eating that sometimes very little thanks will go God's way. Usually our thanks amounts to one prayer right before the big meal. And that's usually done by one person. I'm not putting us down for that, but I think we're celebrating Thanksgiving. We can give a little more thanks to the one who has blessed us so much. So I want to share a message with you this morning simply called Giving Thanks. If you have your outlines, I should have been in your bulletin. Look there with me, please. Giving Thanks. Giving Thanks begins by realizing that everything we have, everything we have comes from God. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 16, it says this. Everything has come from You, talking about God. Everything has come from You, God, and everything belongs to You. Now, folks, we should never have to pause and hesitate or scratch our heads wondering what it is we have to be grateful for. Because the Bible tells us there that everything we have comes from God. And we should always take time to express and to show Him our gratitude. So I want to start by listing five things that all of us have to be grateful for. Number one, you can fill the blanks in as we go. One of the things we have to be grateful to God for is for the grace He has shown to me. Paul said in Ephesians 2:8, you have been saved by grace through believing. You did not save yourselves. It was a gift from God. What is grace? Grace is everything God does for us, even though we don't deserve it. Grace is God giving you what you need, not what you deserve. Everything we have is given to us by God's grace. Everything God does in you, to you, through you, with you, and for you is done by His grace. In Psalm 103, verses 2 through 11, look what the psalm writer pens for us. I will not forget the glorious things God does for me. And then He names them. He forgives all my sins. Not just some of them. Not just the easy ones. for the tough, hard ones that we have a hard time getting over, the Bible says that God forgives all of my sins. He heals me. But God heals in a variety of ways. We all know we all don't always get physically healed. But he can heal us emotionally. He can heal us relationally. He can heal us spiritually. He forgives all my sins. He heals me. He ransoms me from hell. A ransom is an amount of something that someone has to pay in order to free someone else. And God ransomed us from hell. You know how, right? By giving us his son to die on the cross for us. That was the ransom that had to be paid. And Jesus paid it. The psalm writer goes on to say, God surrounds me with love, unconditional love. I know Satan reminds us we don't deserve it. Satan reminds us we're not worthy of it. And he's right. Tough. God surrounds us with his love anyhow. It says, God fills my life with good things. He is merciful and tender toward those who don't deserve it. Can I get an amen? He is slow to get angry. He never bears a grudge. He has not punished us as we deserve for our sins. Folks, I could camp on these verses for the rest of this day, next week, the week after, and the week following. We're grateful. Give thanks for the grace that God has shown to us. Secondly, give God thanks, bless his name for the plan he has for me. Your life, folks, my life, our lives are not accidents. We were made, we were created for a reason, a purpose. God has a plan for your life. God planned you from the beginning of time. No baby was ever born by accident. There may be illegitimate parents, but there are no illegitimate babies. God plans them and brings them in the world like he has every other human being. And if you are alive today, God has a plan for your life. You may not know it yet. You only may know parts of it. You may never see the full expanse of it, but he's got a plan for your life. And God's plan is good for your life. It's not a plan we have to wonder about or worry about or become anxious about. Jeremiah 29:11, a good verse. Many of you know this one. God says, I have good plans for you. I don't plan to hurt you. I plan to give you hope and a good future. Now, I know some of you are saying, wait a second. God said, I don't plan to hurt you, but I've experienced a lot of hurt. Why do we always blame God for the bad stuff? Why do we blame God for the hurt? Remember, he has an enemy, Satan. Why don't we blame the hurt on Satan or on us? Because we created the hurt by something we did, we didn't do, something we said. Why do we always turn to God and say, God, if you're a God of love, why is all of this happening? Like it's all his fault. Remember the Garden of Eden was a wonderful place. God gave Adam and Eve everything they wanted, everything they needed. He supplied for their physical needs, their emotional needs, their relational needs, their needs spiritually with him. And then Eve got an idea. I'm liking what I see. I know what God said. I like that. She grabbed it, took a bite, and literally all hell broke loose. Adam plays dumb. The Bible says Adam, was there with her. And it's not like he ran from it. He said, hey, looks good. Give me that thing. I want a bite too. God says, I have good plans for you. And that's something you can thank God for. Whether you know his plans, whether you're experiencing his full good plans for you, you can thank God for it ahead of time. God's plan is so good and so great that God even takes our mistakes, our failures, even things other people do to hurt us, and he works them into his overall plan for us. Now, folks, God's plan is good, but it's not always cotton candy and roses. Would you agree with that? There are times we're disappointed. There are times we're disciplined. Why? Because God wants to mold us and make us into the image of Jesus. We will never be little gods. But Jesus said, as a human being, he set out to show how God wants us to live and how he wants us to relate to him and to other people. And God uses all these things so our character can become like the character of Christ. Part of God's plan is to give us hope. You realize you can't live without hope? When people become totally hopeless, they quit living and die. Their hearts may be beating, but there's no real life there. Why? Because you need hope to live. And God's plan includes hope for your life. What do you need for in your life? What do you need hope for today? Has anything ever seemed insurmountable to you? Maybe at least once or twice or more than that. Maybe you needed a job and it doesn't come. Maybe you had a project to do and you didn't finish. Maybe school seems insurmountable. Maybe healthy relationships seem like they're never there. Maybe a promotion you were counting on didn't come through for you. With God, all of these insurmountable things are actually things we can conquer through him. We need hope, and God gives us that hope. We also need hope when we've blown it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done something wrong and thought, that's it, I've blown it, it's over, there's no chance now, I may as well forget about it? But God is a God of hope, and many times he gives us second chances. Sometimes he gives us third chances and fourth chances. Sometimes he gives us a lifetime of chances to continue to follow him. Aren't you glad about that? Between now and Thursday and all day Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and come back next Sunday and start giving him thanks for that. Number three, we're grateful to God for the home he is preparing for me. 2 Corinthians 5:1, Paul said this, "We know that our body will be destroyed, but when that happens, God will have a house for us. It will not be a house made by human hands. Instead, it will be a home in heaven that will last forever." God has made us as human beings to last forever. One day your body is going to die, but that will not be the end of you. One day our bodies will decay, our bodies will cease to exist, but that's not the end of us. The Bible says we were created in God's image, which means we have a soul. And you will spend eternity in one of two places. And God wants us to spend eternity with him, not in a place where he does not exist. Now, as Christians, we don't have to fear death. Now, that's true biblically, it's true, but I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes I fear it. I work at the hospital. I'm a chaplain for the hospital Roper Healthcare Systems out in Mount Pleasant, and I see people going through pain and sorrow and suffering and surgeries and all that, but I see people in the ICU who are dying. And I don't mean dying in a week or two. I mean literally dying now. And I see some of them who told me they were believers and Christians who just pass on from this life into heaven with total peace. I see others, Christians, who've given their heart to Christ, who are going through that process of death, who are fighting it. And it's hard. It's the reality. It's something we don't know because we haven't been there yet. So I'm going to tell you, sometimes I fear death. Not because God isn't God, not because his word isn't true, but because I'm still human. Sometimes I don't think the way God does. But I believe what God's word says. I'm not denying what he says. And I like it, what he says about heaven. First of all, in heaven, we get to be reunited. Fill that in. We get to be reunited with other believers. Who have gone on before us. Did y'all ever see that Brad Paisley song, the video, where he talks about seeing people again, and he holds up pictures of his grandma and other people in the video. They hold up pictures of people they can't wait to go see. Has anybody seen this but me? I watch it all the time. It's one of my tearjerker songs. And it's wonderful to know the people that aren't here as believers in Christ are there, waiting for us, praying for us, pulling for us, cheering for us. I think sometimes even kicking us in the butt for what we didn't do, what we should have done. We get to be reunited with them. Who is it that comes to your mind and to your heart right now when you realize that? Who has gone before you that you can't wait to see again? Thank God he's prepared a home for us. Amen? We'll be reunited in heaven. Secondly, we will be rewarded in heaven. I don't know why God is going to reward us in heaven. I don't get that. We're going to be rewarded, the Bible says, for our faith, for our trust in God, for our servants to God, our obedience to God. We get rewarded. Like heaven isn't reward enough. Then we get reassigned. In heaven, we will all be reassigned new tasks, new things to do in heaven that will keep us more than just busy. We'll be assigned things that will make us happy, that will make us feel fulfilled. Sometimes I think we have this idea of heaven, it's just like cotton candy clouds. We go up there and we just float around and say hello to some angels. No. There is a new heaven and a new earth coming where all of what we experience now will be redesigned the way God meant for it to be from the beginning of time before Adam and Eve messed it all up. And it's here on the new heaven, the new earth, that we get to live life fully human. Not as angels, not as little demigods. We get to be fully human. I can't wait, because I like a lot about the human life. I like a lot about it. I can't wait to like the rest of it. When it's all fixed, we'll be rewarded, we will be reassigned. And last, we will be released. We'll be released from pain and fear and depression and anxiety and worry, from uncertainty, from sorrow, from conflict, from stress. Look what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, talking about who heaven is made for. He says, God has reserved for his children the precious gift of eternal life. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And God, in his mighty power, will make sure that you get there safely to receive it, because you are trusting him. So be truly glad. Thank God for what he's given to us. Number four, another reason to thank God is for the changes he's making in me. I'm personally very glad, very grateful to God for the changes he's made in my life and from the changes he's making in my life, because if you haven't noticed, I'm just a little bit far from perfect. Just a little bit far from perfect. Smile and laugh at me. You are too. You are too. We all are. God has been changing my life for the past 47 years. You do the math. I'm 55. Seriously? No one does math on Sunday morning. And I thank God that while I'm not the person God has made me to be, yet I'm also not the person that I used to be. God is changing me. And he's changing you. He is not done with you. He is not done with me. And we have reason to be grateful for that. How many of you love second chances? How many of you love third chances? Fifth? Hundredth? Come on, that's how. At some point in time, if people fail us that many times, we say, done. Part of saying done might be healthy. But when we come to God and we fail him over and over, he never says, done. He disciplines us. He teaches us with his loving, outstretched hand, always ready to bring us back. Always. I don't understand that. Mainly because I don't think like God does. Not all the time. I'm sure you have reasons to thank God for the changes he's making in you. When others were writing you off as hopeless, God saw the potential that you had under his control and love, and he's still changing you. He has not given up on you. Look at Philippians 2:13. It says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. God is working in you. He gives you the very desires that you have to serve him and to love him and to follow him. God gives you the desire and the power. He supplies all you need so he can make the changes in your life that he wants to make. 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul writes this, and as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more. I love this verse. You know, I say that about every verse, right? I say that about every Bible verse. I love this verse. This is my favorite. This is great. But I love this verse. Because God's working with us to become more and more and more and more and more and more and more like him. So that as he changes us, as we become more and more like Jesus, his glory can be reflected from our lives so other people can see a difference in our lives and maybe, just maybe, want that difference in theirs. Have you ever known somebody like that? They were just a godly person, lived in reality, a godly person. All you had to do was see them and you knew it. Have you ever seen someone like that? When I got saved in Baltimore, Maryland, I attended a church called First Baptist Church of Brooklyn there in Baltimore. That's the church at which I got saved. That's the church at which I was baptized. There was a lovely lady named Mrs. Heath. When I knew her, Mrs. Heath was well past her 85th birthday. Mrs. Heath, when you just first saw her, even for the first time I saw her, there was this love and peace and joy and countenance and presence of God that just reflected off of her. It was as though you were in God's presence. She was incredible. And one of the ways she got there is going through the hard times, the tough times, the pressures of life, her entire life, but allowing God to work in her and change her, knowing she was God's child. And she was incredible. She didn't have to say a word. Have you ever known someone like that? I've only known a couple. She's one of them. And Paul said, the Spirit of the Lord works within us, and we become more and more like him. That's what God is doing in us, and it's a reason for us to give thanks. Number five. Another reason we give thanks to God is because he never gives up on us. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful to us and will help us, and he will always carry out his promises to us. If we're unfaithful, God will be unfaithful, right? No. if we're unfaithful, God remains faithful to us and he will help us. He will always, always carry out his promises to us all the time. It's not about us. It's about him. We don't deserve it. He gives it anyhow. He never gives up on me. Have you ever fell short of who God called you to be or what God has called you to do? Have you ever felt unworthy? And aren't you grateful that even when we fall and are unfaithful, God never gives up on us? There's a song, part of which goes, "You never let go." The words of it say this, "Oh no," speaking of God, "oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me." And I thank God for never giving up on me. And I encourage you to realize he never gives up on you and to thank him for that this Thanksgiving. So how can we give thanks? Let me throw out three different ways we can give thanks to God. There's all kinds of ways. First of all, by singing, right? You don't even have to be a musician to sing. You can just, the Bible says, make a joyful noise. I've sat by some of you. You got a joyful noise going on. Psalm 147, verse 7 says, "Sing out your thanks to him. Sing praises to our God." When you praise God, you become very aware of his presence in your life, and there's something very powerful about praising the Lord, particularly in music and in song and in singing. Some people say, "Well, I can't sing." We know that. Sing anyhow. People say, "I can't sing." Well, that doesn't stop you from singing to your favorite tunes on the radio, does it? Country music going down the road, and you're just getting along with them, and you're so far off key, it's not even funny, but you sing. You don't have to be able to sing well. Make that joyful noise. And since God is everywhere, you can sing to God anywhere. You can sing in your home, in your car, in your office, at school, in your mind. There's so much good Christian music out there now. You have to run away from it, not to run into it. Find some stations on the radio you like. Get some music you like. I don't care where you get it from off the internet. Get it. It's great. Say, "I don't like to sing." You don't have to sing. Just listen. It'll get you going. We can praise God through our singing. Secondly, we can praise God. We can thank God by serving. Hebrews 12:28 says, "Since we have a kingdom that nothing can destroy, let us please God by serving him with thankful hearts." When we serve God, we shouldn't look at it as some chore, some duty, or some obligation. It is a privilege to serve God. Our motive for serving God with our gifts and talents and ministry is gratitude. It's a thankful heart. And the fact is, if God never blesses us again, ever, we'd still owe him everything for what he's done for us through Christ. Give thanks to God this Thursday. Try it again on Friday and Saturday. Come back next Sunday. We'll continue to give thanks to God by serving him. And third, we can exhibit our thanks to God by giving. Psalm 50, verse 14 says, "Give an offering to show thanks to God. Give him what you promised." When we give back to God, when we give ourselves back to God, when we give our families back to God, when we give our possessions back to God, when we give our money back to God, it's a way of giving him thanks. Deuteronomy 16, verse 10 celebrate the harvest festival to honor the Lord by to honor the Lord your God by bringing him a free will offering in proportion to the blessing he has given you. It's good to think about what you give and the way you give. Let me suggest three things you do as you think about giving to God. First, review your commitment. Have you been consistent in your giving? Have you given according to how God has blessed you? God says, give a tithe, give 10% of what you make back to him. That's standard for all Christians, period. But there are some Christians whom God has blessed with great wealth. They can afford to give way more than 10%, way more. And I know a lot of folks, people whom God has brought money so they can use money for God's kingdom, they give tons of money, from my perspective, tons of money. Give your 10%, and when you can, give more. Review your commitment, then renew your commitment. Review it and renew it. If you've gotten off and haven't been giving and you need to start, just renew it. Well, I'm in a tight bind financially, and that's kind of why I stopped giving. Now I want to start giving. Where do I start? Start where you can. Give a dollar a week, give it. Give $10 a week, give it. And then what you need to do is just plan to build that back up, to get back to 5%, 10%, who knows? You might be throwing money at the church like some other people can. And I never, listen, I don't care what you give. I don't care what you give. It's between you and God. Whether you give a little or a lot, I care that you give. Does that make sense? Start where you are. Ask God to build you up from there. And last, outdo your commitment. Folks, many Christians want to grow in their faith year by year. One way to grow in faith is by increasing your giving. I'm going to give 2% this year. Next year, I'm giving 2.5%. Next year, I'm giving 5%. And just watch how God allows you to build it back up. And you don't just have to earn more money to give more. Sometimes we need to learn to live less, right? I still look on Amazon, and I want a lot of their toys. But I know I shouldn't get them. I like Amazon. They ship them to me anyway. If I don't like it, I send it back. I use it a few days. I don't like it. I send it back. I'm just kidding. I don't do that often. Outdo your commitment. And one other way we thank God is by telling. Every time you tell somebody about the good news of Jesus Christ, you're thanking God. Isaiah 12:4, thank the Lord, praise his name. Tell the world about his wondrous love and how mighty he is. Folks, as Christians, as believers, we have the greatest news in the world. And the good news keeps getting better because the news of the world keeps getting worse. Every time I think it can't get any worse, something else, some terrible thing happens, the TV comes on, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, God, I can't take this. I've told you before, and intermittently I'll keep up with what's going on in the world, but I don't sit and watch news. It gets me depressed. It hurts my heart. I feel frustrated that not just me and you, that the people who can do something do nothing. Or they don't do it in the right way, at least according to my politics and my faith. Every time you tell somebody the good news, you are thanking God. Thank the Lord. Praise his name. His love is wondrous. He is mighty. We have the greatest news in the world. And the gospel keeps getting better because the news of the world gets worse. Everybody needs Jesus. Every person has a need in their heart for Christ. And we are the only ones who can tell them. That's how God set it up. And the fact is, folks, you're the only authority on your life. No one knows your life as good as you do. No one knows how God has worked in your life. No one knows the mistakes you've made in your life. No one knows all the victories you've had in your life. No one knows where you are right now. And God can use you and your story to somebody who needs to know your story. I can't tell that person my story. They need to hear your story. And by the way, preachers aren't the only one who have a story to tell. Every believer does. And when you leave it up to us to do it, it doesn't get done. We only have a handful of pastors at this church. Some of us part-time. God can't use us to do what he can use you to do. Tell somebody. You want to show gratitude to God? Tell somebody about his goodness and his mercy and his grace. Tell somebody. I'm scared to death. So am I. And I'm a preacher. What makes you think just because you're nervous about it that you shouldn't do it? Folks, if you don't tell your story, then who's going to tell it? If you don't tell your story and share your faith, it's not going to get shared with somebody who is just waiting to hear it. I think about the time I heard somebody's story. And I wonder sometimes, what if that person had never shared their story with me? Where would I be now? And based on my past, I got a few good places I think I'd be and I'd not be. Share your story. We're going to work on this next year. We're going to develop a class, membership class. If you want to be a member here, good. You're not yet, but you can be. We're going to start a membership class. And during that class, I'm going to show you guys and teach you guys how just to simply share your story in a way that people will listen when God gets their heart ready to listen. Take time this Thanksgiving to give thanks to God, okay? All right, let's pray together. God, we know you're good to us. We realize it every day. We may not give thanks, but we know you're good to us. So God, during this holiday season, this Thanksgiving season, may we be awakened just a little bit more. Share our gratitude to you, to give you the thanksgiving that you deserve for all, as your word says, for all that you have done for us. And then use us, God, to share the good news we know about. Use us so others can have a chance to hear it. Bless our time of response, the rest of our service time. We give ourselves to you for it, through it, and in it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Folks, have a great week. Thanksgiving, thanks living, and we'll be back next week. Don't forget all those things we talked about, the angel tree, poinsettias coming up, all the activities. Probably this week, no youth meeting this week because we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving. Let's bow together. Father, we thank you for this time, and we pray that as we think of those faith heroes, Paul and Silas and Moses in the ancient days. And then we think in modern day of the missionaries, those who've given their life to serve you. Help us to be a part of that number. Help us to live faithfully and thankfully. Lord, I pray everyone has a great Thanksgiving. Be with those who are traveling. Bring them back to us safely. We pray it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.